Okay, so this is the final talk in this room for today. After that, we can all move over to the Kubus. This is my dear friend, Andrea Glorioso, who has also been here last year, who was then speaking for the Agnula project, which does not exist anymore by now, officially. Before you begin, you all might have noticed, some of you might not yet have, but still, outside at the info booth, we have three CDs from the Agnula team with a D-Moody 1.1.1. Live CD. This is a small group effort, which was not small, a big group effort, which was done over the last 3 weeks, and we managed to get these three CDs burned and produced for this event just in time. So if you've been here, don't forget to get a free CD. It's supposed to just be put in the CD-ROM, boot from CD, and you have most of the current audio applications right now ready to go without any need to install on hard disk. Please try that and also give feedback to the Moody Agnula team. I think they'll be happy for any kind of feedback they get.
Absolutely.
So then, Agnula? No, Agnula. Andrea, sorry. Please start.
Okay, so thank you everybody for coming. I know that giving a talk on Sunday morning is not really the best thing we could do, so thank you very much for coming. I'm going to give a brief presentation about the Agnula project, the past, the current situation, especially the future, where we are heading to. For those who don't know Agnula, Agnula is a project whose main goal is basically to spread free software, free as in free beer, but free as freedom, I mean libre software, in the field of professional audio and sound, and maybe in the future video too, but for now we are just focusing on audio. There's already much work to do. Basically, Agnula, as the idea, was born around 1999-2000 from the minds of Nicola Bernardini, Massimo Cecco, Gunther Geiger, Dave Phillips, and Marco Trevisani. These were the persons that met and basically said to each other, look, we do already use free software to do music, but we do that in a very, I mean, specialistic way. We compile our own software. Why don't we just make a Linux distribution, a free software-based Linux, GNU Linux distribution for sound and for audio? And so the Moody stands for Debian-based multimedia distribution idea was born. And work started. There was a 0.01 version of the Moody was produced in time for the ICMC 99 conference in Cuba, if I'm not wrong. And then later on, sometime after, you can see that the idea was conceived around in 1999-2000. 2 years after, on April the 1st, the Agnula project got accepted as a European Commission-funded project. You might wonder why it took so much, why there is so much time between the initial idea of the Moody and the funding by the European Commission. Well, the point is that preparing a project for the European Commission and getting funding is a very long job. I mean, the preparation of the Agnula project occupied more or less 1 year of writing papers and filling in bureaucratic things and so on. Anyway, I entered the project in 2003, in February 2003, the former technical manager, the beginning technical manager of the Agnula project was Marco Trevisani. Then we switched technical manager, and in 2003, in August, Agnula De Moody 1.0 got released. And now by looking back, I see at Agnula De Moody 1.0, I just say, wow, that really sucks. I mean, it was more, I mean, I'm going to talk a bit about what's the difference between Agnula De Moody 1.0 and Agnula De Moody 1.1.0, which, I mean, there is quite a big difference between the two. Anyway, in 2004, Agnula De Moody 1.1.0, which the live CD that you can get for free outside, this time free as in free beer, you don't have to pay for the CD, is based on Agnula De Moody 1.1.0. And then in February of 2004, we launched another project, Agnula Libre Music, which I'm going to talk about in a short time. What's the situation right now? Well, as you might know, the Agnula project ended its official lifetime. I mean, the European fundings ended in April 2004. On the 1st of April, Agnula was a 2 years long project. we basically managed to convince Firenze Tecnologia, which is the company that I'm currently working for. Let me spend just 2 words just to give the, I mean, just to understand what Firenze Tecnologia is. Firenze Tecnologia is the special agency of the Chamber of Commerce of Florence, which is devoted to technological innovation, research on technological innovation. For some strange reasons, which I'm still trying to understand, Firenze Tecnologia decided that free software was liber software, I mean free as in freedom. Free software was the future of innovation. I mean, I know that. I know that free software is the future of innovation, but it's strange that the Chamber of Commerce understands that. Basically, okay, can we remove this sentence from the from the talk? Okay. Anyway, yeah, okay, that's a good idea. And basically, Firenze Tecnologia created Media Innovation Unit, which is the unit I work for. And it is a research unit which is devoted to research, development, and dissemination on the topics of free software, free content, and new media. Anyway, in April of 2004, we managed to convince Firenze Tecnologia to fund one person to work full-time for 1 year on Agnula De Moody, on the De Moody distribution. And again, I can assure you that it's quite hard to convince a Chamber of Commerce that they should finance Linux distribution for audio. But anyway, we managed to do it. And then in April, again, of 2004, we did the Agnula De Moody 1.1.1 live CD distribution, especially for the Linux audio meeting. I want to officially thank very much Frank Neumann, who helped us very much to, I mean, get in contact with the Linux magazine and print the cover of the CD. Thank you very much, Frank. What is the future of Agnula? I want to stress one thing. Even if Agnula has ended its funded lifetime, I mean, we are not getting, for the time being, any more money from the European Commission. Agnula as a project won't end. We are completely convinced we want to continue. And actually, during this meeting, I had the occasion to talk with most of the former partners of the Agnula project, amongst whom there was François Deschel, Patrice Tisserand, Dave Phillips, and Gunther Geiger. And we decided that Agnula should continue, and we are currently looking for new ways of funding the work that's yet to do, that there is still to do. The future of Agnula De Moody. First point, a very important point, integration with Debian. What does that mean? De Moody is based on Debian. That means that it uses the Deb packaging format and all the tools that are usually found in Debian. Basically, to install De Moody, you have to get a Debian system and then install a coherent set of De Moody packages on top of it. This choice that we had to make, I mean, to do separate packages from Debian, led to some problem. I can show you just one, the Jack Audio Connection Kit, that, as you know, is a very central point for any serious professional audio workstation based on free software. The point was that at the time when the Jack Audio Connection Kit was, I think it was at version 0.5 or 0.6, I don't remember exactly, the Debian package of Jack was still at, the Debian packager had just packaged Jack version 0.3. And I want to stress that all Debian developers are volunteers. So this is not, I mean, it's he didn't have the time to package the newest version, the latest version of Jack. On the one hand, we could have just packaged ourselves the new version of Jack and uploaded it to Debian, but that would have been very rude. I mean, because you usually don't do that. You just don't take some other Debian developers, Debian maintainers' work, and just overwrite it with your own work. And we tried to get in contact with the Debian packager, but my guess is that he was very busy. He didn't reply to our emails. So, again, this is not a lamentation on my part. They are all volunteers, so it's all fine. What we did basically is that we packaged our own version of Jack, but this ended up in having two parallel packages of Jack. And the same situation arose for other packages. Somehow now for the 1.1.0 we managed to address that situation. I'm going to explain very briefly how we did that. But anyway, we discovered that, one could say that this was obvious from the start. But as you know, nothing is obvious until you just bump your face over it, until you try it. The goal now is try to work much more closely with Debian, which practically means to just directly do packages for Debian, upload them in Debian, and try to work with Debian on making the release, the releases more fast. As you know, the main problem of Debian is that the releases of the distribution are incredibly slow. I mean, Vudi, the official Debian distribution, is, I think, 2 years old, and you can't base a multimedia distribution on software that is 2 years old. I'm going to talk on how we are going to try to solve this problem. As far as the GNU/A Libre Music project is concerned, GNU/A Libre Music, if I have the time, I'm going to show you the website of GNU/A Libre Music. It's basically a web-based a website with a database of music pieces that are licensed under a Creative Commons license. And that means that those music pieces, the authors of those music pieces, officially agreed that their music could be copied and, in some cases, modified and spread around. I mean, if you think about it, that's quite different from the music that you usually buy in a shop. The music that you buy in a shop is all rights reserved. You can maybe play it on your CD reader if the CD is not copy protected. I mean, that happens too. What we want to do with the GNU/A Libre Music project is integrate much more closely with the Creative Commons project and try to become a kind of reference point for free music, for Libre Music. The third project that we're working on, especially with Dave Phillips and Burkhard Wolfel, is the GNU/A book, which is right now is still, it's halfway between an idea and something that has been started. We have the materials, we have the tutorials. During this meeting, we decided on the structure of the book. And my guess is that after everybody gets home from the conference and gets some sleep too, we will start working on this book. The GNU/A book should basically be a reference book, should guide the user through all the problems from not having any GNU Linux system to having a complete GNU Linux system for doing all the basic stuff. I mean, recording, mastering, producing music, and so on. And then what we want to do is, and this is more specifically related to our work as Media Innovation Unit, is to use the GNU/A project as a general framework, as the base framework for our future ESI-funded projects, especially in the area of course, research on sound and research on music. I just want to stress one thing. Media Innovation Unit only works and only deals with free software. And I want to stress that because it's very important that for us that everybody understands that all the contributions that could go into GNU/A will remain free software. That's very important for us. Okay, so what's the present as far as the mood is concerned? GNU/A Demudi 1.1.0, which you can download from www.agnu/a.org. I'm going to give the URLs at the end of the talk. Basically, it's a set of packages made on top of Debian Unstable. For those who don't know Debian, basically Debian is divided into three separate branches. You have Debian Stable, which is the official release, and which is, well, let's say, old. It's 2 years, very old, really old, I mean. Then you have Debian Unstable, which is bleeding edge. All new packages that are uploaded to Debian directly go into the Unstable branch. And then you have a middle ground, which is Debian Testing, which basically is all the Unstable packages that pass series of tests and don't have bugs. For basically, I think that if a package doesn't have any serious bug for more than 2 weeks, then it automatically gets transferred to testing. Sorry? For 10 days, thank you. What we did for GNU/A Demudi 1.1.0 is taking a snapshot of Unstable, a fixed snapshot of Unstable, basically because it's impossible to build a distribution on a moving target. Unstable basically changes every day. Every day you have new packages into Unstable and you can't base your work on something that changes under your own feet. So we took a snapshot of Debian Unstable, and we built our packages on that snapshot, and we distributed that snapshot. Now the problem is that most persons, the problem that we face is that most persons want to use our packages not on the Unstable snapshot that we do provide, but on their Debian system, which might be anything from testing to Unstable to a mix of the two. So it's becoming quite hard for us to support all of these possible combinations. It's basically impossible to support all of these combinations. And then we have Agnula Demudi 1.1.1. We love subversions. We are going to work on 1.1.1.1 for the next live CD, which is basically a Knoppix-based live CD with all the packages from 1.1.0, almost all the packages from 1.1.0, because, of course, not all packages could fit into live CD. We try to select only the best of breed packages for each, section, for synthesis, for the synthesis, for mastering, for recording, and so on. As far as I could tell, all the packages that, all the software, all the programs that were presented during this meeting and that we had previously packaged are inside the live CD. I think the only exception is Faust, which we didn't yet package. So, what's the future of Demudi? We are trying to push very hard for all the development team of Demudi, which right now is not that large. I mean, you could say, well, we have a development team. Well, at the moment, we have two persons, one of which is paid, and the other is half paid, half volunteer. Basically, Frie Kanayaka is being paid to work on Demudi. Damien Sigotto should be paid to work on another project, but since the other project still has to start, we agree that he would work for the time being on Agnula. We want all of these persons, all of the development team, to become Debian developers, because of course that eases our work of interacting with Debian. We don't have each time to ask for a sponsor to upload the package to Debian. Then we want Demudi to work much closely with Debian Multimedia, which is basically the group of Debian packagers who work on multimedia packages. I think that there are 7 or 8 packagers. I mean, it's not a large group. And then we want Demudi to become a custom Debian distribution. What is a custom Debian distribution? Okay, so now we all know that Debian is old on making releases, and it's incredibly large. Debian has more than 10,000 binary packages, 10,000 software programs. Now, if you think about it, managing a release with 10,000 software packages, whose packagers are actually volunteers, so you can't go to a Debian developer and tell him, you have to do this. Because he will just say, he or she will just say, no, I don't have to, I'm a volunteer. I do whatever I want to do because I'm a volunteer. So we have Debian has a problem and we have a problem. For a long time, there have been discussions on how to best solve these problems. And right now, the direction seems to be that we should try to divide the whole pool of Debian packages into specific subpools, a subpool for multimedia, a subpool for the desktop, a subpool for the server, and then inside each subpool, for example, a subpool for a sub-repository of packages for the web servers, for the email servers, and for the multimedia pool, we could have a sub-repository for audio packages and for video packages. I mean, the level of granularity which we want to reach is still a matter of discussion. But the point is that by having sub-repositories, Debian could be able to make separate releases. I mean, it's quite normal that a Linux distribution for a server, it doesn't need to be bleeding edge. It just needs to work and work well. You usually don't upgrade a server very often. On the other hand, a multimedia distribution, well, it depends. I mean, of course, you do upgrade a server when a bug comes out or when a security bug comes out, but you just don't upgrade a server just because the new version is out. I mean, while for example, for the GNU Linux audio programs, you do want to upgrade your distribution as soon as a new version comes out, especially now when we have a very fast development. I mean, if you see Jack, if you see the speed of development of Jack, I mean, waiting for 1 month is too much time. So, well, this is a message that Andrea Stille, who is still a Debian developer, and who had the idea of the custom Debian distribution, sent to the Debian developers mailing list. And I will just read. Custom Debian distributions, formerly known as Debian internal projects, try to provide a solution for special groups of target users with different skills and interests. Not only handy collections of specific program packages, but care for its installation and configuration for the intended purpose. And that's an important point, because an installation program for a musician should be different than the installation program for a system administrator. It's two different target users, I mean. So what we are doing right now is having Frieka Nayaka, the main developer, the maintainer of the Moody right now, of Gnula the Moody right now, try to cooperate as much closely as possible with the custom Debian distribution project. Actually, Free is going, I think, on the 5th of June to Valencia, where there will be a lucky guy. I would have liked to go to Valencia too, but he will go to Valencia to participate to a workshop on custom Debian distributions. So let's switch to Agnura Libre Music. I used an acronym because if I used the whole title, it was too large for the presentation. So ALM stands for Agnura Libre Music. As I told before, Agnura Libre Music is a web-based database of music pieces which are licensed with either a Creative Commons attribution share-alike license. And that means a Creative Commons attribution share-alike license is a license which obliges the end user to, if he wants to redistribute the music, to give proper credit to the original author. And then the share-alike part is more or less like the copyleft part. If I get a music piece which is licensed with a Creative Commons attribution share-alike license, I can redistribute it, but I must give to the other users, to the other persons I distribute the music to, the same freedoms that I was given. We accept Creative Commons only attribution. That means that the only condition of the second license is that the original author should be given proper credit each time the music is distributed around. We accept the Electronic Frontier Foundation Open Audio License, although almost nobody uses it, because nobody knows about it, basically. And then we are studying other possible licenses. Basically, we don't like that much reading licenses. So, this seemed like a good set of initial license to reach our goal, which was to spread music as much as possible. We do have a set of features which, in my opinion, are quite interesting. I would like to point out the second feature, the automatic tagging of pieces. What does that mean? As you know, especially the MP3 and the Ogg Vorbis format, of course, you should all use Ogg Vorbis when you compress your music, because it's a free format. It seems to be patent unencumbered. Anyway, sorry for the plug. The MP3 and the Ogg Vorbis format allow for tags at the beginning of the file. Tags which describe, for example, the author of the piece, the title of the piece, the year in which it was composed, and there is space for the license of the piece. And this for us is very important, because what we do want is not only to spread music, but to make people aware of the fact that that music that they receive gives them some kinds of freedom. Users must clearly see that that music is a Creative Commons piece of music. Because otherwise, end users could just think, okay, it's free music and it's free as in free beer. I just get it. Who cares? I won't repeat this officially, but we all know that users do already download music, which they theoretically shouldn't download. So we do want to stress that difference, that users can legally use the music that is provided by Agnura Libre Music. And then we have a license violation script on the website by which people that think that a piece of music is violating some other people's license can report that. But we're thinking about disabling it, because basically people is using the license violation script to when you click on the license violation button on the GNU/LA Libre Music database, that piece of music is temporarily disabled from download. And what we discover is that, unfortunately, some users are using this feature to disable download of other people's music that they don't like. So we're currently studying a better method to handle this situation. Then there is the Agnura book, which I told you a bit about before. I mean, we during this meeting, we just discussed with all the parties to on how we should proceed with the book. I'm not going to talk a lot about it because we still don't have much material to talk about. But I think that in 1 week, more or less, we will start discussing the general structure of the book and how to organize work and also to issue call for helps, because we can't do everything ourselves on the user's mailing list. So if you are interested, stay tuned on the mailing list. And anyway, as I told before, the goal of the Agnura book is to provide a reference, a good documentation for beginning users. That's the target. I mean, users which have begun to use Linux, GNU Linux. We don't want to target specifically users who are beginning to make music. I mean, that would be too difficult. There are many other good books about computer music. Context. The main site is at http://www.agnura.org. That's quite easy, I mean. We have a development portal, which is I don't know, probably most of you know about SourceForge, the website. Basically, our development portal, which you can find at http://develop.agnura.org, is just like SourceForge. It's got the same structure. There are sub-projects inside it, a sub-project for the Moody, a sub-project for the Agnura Libre Music project, a sub-project for the documentation. And on that website, on the second website, you can report bugs, you can subscribe to the mailing list, you can issue feature requests. And it's a very good tool for us to categorize all the bugs and the requests from users. So if you want to report a bug, please do use the development portal. Then the Libre Music website is at http://music.agnura.org. And the mailing lists are at http://list.agnura.org. And we have two main mailing lists, which are users at list.agnura.org and developers at list.agnura.org. And the developers mailing list is mostly intended for internal development work. But mind you, both of them are open lists. You can subscribe to them without any problems. The first list is intended for general discussion amongst users. And during this meeting, I actually discussed with the other person who are cooperating with the Agnura project. And we are trying now to try to write as much all our emails, which up to now were very often were private emails. We are trying to bring all the discussion as much as possible on the user's mailing list in order to make people aware of what we are doing. Okay, so I've actually finished. How much time do I have left? Okay, so I guess if there are any questions, I will answer to the question. And if we still have time, I'm going to show the website. But first, maybe it's better to reply to the questions.
Okay. First, my first question I myself now is, what is the activity on the mailing list, users and developers, roughly mails per day? So the people who want to join, they have some feeling about what they are swamped with the next day.
Well, up now, the activity on the user's mailing list is quite sparse. It's quite low. I mean, we do have some peaks, especially when I write emails. I usually try to write emails. For example, I follow many other mailing lists devoted to audio or to for the GNU/LA Libre Music, I follow the Creative Commons mailing lists. And I do try to keep the user's mailing list on CC. In that case, I mean, when people from other mailing lists reply and keep the user's mailing list in CC, the amount of messages can reach 3 or 4 a day. But up to now, the traffic has been very, very sparse. I hope that it will grow, actually. The developer's mailing list is actually a bit more, there are more messages, especially because all the activity that's on the bugs and on the various tasks that we do on develop.agmara.org, all the reports of the web-based system is tunneled on the developers mailing list, so that it happens when I know that people actually hate me, because I usually happen to close a lot of bugs all at once, and then all the messages about the bugs closed are tunneled on developers mailing list. So it happens that there are days in which you see 50 messages arriving all at once. But generally speaking, my estimate is that on the developers mailing list we have something like 15 emails each day, at most, for now.
Okay. Any other questions? Oh, let's start here.
I was asking myself, how many users of the Agnula distribution do you have approximately?
May I correct you? There is no such thing as an Agnula distribution. Agnula is a larger project, is a meta project, and inside Agnula we have Agnula Demudi. Demudi is a distribution. Okay, just to make that has been a source of confusion for many users, so I just want to stress that every time that somebody tells me. I don't have precise estimates about the number of users. My impression is that we are still not that many users. I mean, the only way for us to estimate the number of users would be if every user just wrote us and told us that they are using Agnula Demudi. So I really don't know. My guess is users which write on the mailing list are in the order of 50, I think. But I mean, that doesn't show anything because it's
Tell about the users.
Please take the microphone.
We have about 107 registered users on devil.agnula.
Oh yeah, we have more than that. Yeah,
tell those figures. Maybe they.
Yeah, if we want to see the figures on how many users have a register on our development portal and on our main website. If I'm not wrong, we have 120 users on the development portal and I think 150 on the website. Yes. I see that people is much more informed than me about the number of users, so that's fine.
We just had a look at the download.agnula.org.
Yeah.
And during April, the download size was 600 gigabytes.
Wow, that's good. I don't think, one thing that I forgot, I should add that all the websites are hosted on a server which has been very kindly donated by KTH, the Royal Institute of Technology, which was one of the partners of the Agnula project. And IRCAM is providing a mirror for the download and the Debian repository. I'm happy that we have so much gigabytes of download. I don't know if KTH is so happy about it, but anyway. That would be a good idea, yes. Okay, great. Okay.
Okay, question by Frank Wagnicht.
Regarding the Libre Music, there are some Creative Commons licenses which one could not consider as really free licenses because they don't allow commercial use. So will those license pieces also be able to register on Libre Music?
That's a good question. And that's, as they say usually, thank you for the question. And basically, that's a question that we made ourselves at the beginning of the Agnula Libre Music project. On the one hand, you probably have seen that we didn't include the non-commercial distribution, the Creative Commons non-commercial license, which allows for the distribution, but only for non-commercial purposes. For the time being, I personally don't consider non-commercial distribution as a free license. But on the other hand, I think that we must consider that free software and free music or free content, generally speaking, are two very different things. And it's not obvious that you can apply the same logic that you apply to free software, in which being able to commercially redistribute free software is a basic point of free software. It's not obvious that this possibility has the same value for free content. I want to stress that the final goal is to help spreading free content, free music in our case. So what we want to do is choosing the licenses that best serve this goal. Right now, I'm not sure whether non-commercial redistribution is good for spreading free music, because you could say that some musicians would distribute their music, but they don't want other people to make money out of it. So if we choose not to allow non-commercial distribution, we're basically cutting out all of these persons. I still don't know. I mean, I would be very happy to discuss about this thing. I would like to stress that Agnula has never been, and especially now, is not a pet project of mine or of anybody else. I mean, it was meant, and it is meant to be a project for the community. So regarding this specific point, we should discuss it probably on the user's mailing list and try to reach a consensus on whether the non-commercial distribution of music is to be considered free music or not.
Okay, then we have one more question on IRC.
Hi, this is Sebastian, and Rick Barton from Belgium has the question, does it require more work for making a Debian-based distro than for another distro like Fedora?
I will repeat just to see if I understood. Is this person asking if working with Debian is more work?
No, is it more work to produce a distro based on Debian?
The only problem that we have with Debian, and it's not really a problem, but anyway, the only difficulty that we have had working with Debian is their slow release cycle and their distributed way of managing things. I mean, if you work with a distribution which releases more often, like Red Hat, for example, or Mandrake, then you got a base system which is not too old on which you can base your work. As I said before, if you work with Debian, either you stick with a base system that is stable but is too old, or you work with unstable, which is new but is moving. So I would say that this difficulty of working with Debian is outweighed by the fact that, in my opinion, Debian is a technically very good distribution. So I would say, no, it's not more difficult to work with Debian than with other distributions. But they worked only with Debian, so maybe this is not a good answer.
Okay, I think I've seen a question somewhere up here. Yeah, that's Bob Ham.
There seems to be quite a few different websites that offer databases.
Can you speak a little louder?
Sorry. There seems to be quite a few different websites that offer databases of open music, like there's the Open Music Registry. I'm just wondering why you chose to create another website as opposed to associating yourself with another different website or something like that?
Well, I will be very honest about this. We chose to do that because I must say that Agnula Libre Music is something that I wanted very much to exist. And I wanted to make it inside Agnula because I wanted to stress that Libre Music was important for Agnula, which is something that if we just if we just called for music amongst our users and told them, go put the music on another database, there wouldn't have been this kind of association with the Agnula project. So that's, I must say that this is the main reason. On the other hand, we now that we were able to somewhat brand the initiative as an Agnula initiative, I'm more than willing to cooperate with other free music databases, and we are actually working to do that. One thing that we are studying right now, which is more difficult than it might seem, especially from the legal point of view, is try to establish a kind of peer-to-peer network only for free content. And that's one of the things that the Creative Commons project wants to do. So we are trying to work with them. But for example, I will just add a small note. In Italy, there is a law that's being discussed in the parliament that wants basically to ban all kind of peer-to-peer because it could be possibly used to trade copyrighted material. And of course, that's incredibly stupid because email can be used to trade copyrighted material, but you don't ban email for that. So I would say that it's not that much a technical problem. It is a legal problem. And it is a problem for us because we are not lawyers. I mean, we very often don't exactly know how to handle this situation. So I will launch a call for help. If any lawyer amongst the public or amongst the people who are listening on the internet is willing to help us understanding our legal options, we would really appreciate that.
Okay, more questions? Yep.
Wow, it is a success.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, in this Libre Music database, is there also the possibility to upload not complete pieces, but also loops or samples or something like that? Because I'm doing some kind of loop editor, and it's very pointless without having free loops to use it.
Yeah, yeah. Generally speaking, yes. I mean, if it qualifies as music, then it's, and I mean, that's a tough question, understanding what qualifies as music and what, but I don't want to go down that route anyway. generally speaking, yes. We were thinking about creating another sub-project of Agnula devoted to loops and to samples. We were going to start this when we discovered that there is another project which is called FreePath, which seems to be somewhat doing the same thing that we were thinking to do. My idea initially was that things like loops or sounds, let's call them that way, not complete music pieces, should somewhat go on another website to more clearly identify them and to make it easier for end users too, and for other developers to choose between the two websites. But this website that we want to do is still an idea. Right now we don't have the manpower to actually work on it. Again, if any of you finds the idea interesting, let's cooperate on this.
A similar question, but is it possible to distribute other kinds of files? For example, if I do an awk file of a piece, and I'd like to distribute the PD patch together with it, done with.
Well, generally speaking, I would say that a PD patch, for example, doesn't fit too well into the Agnula Libre Music concept. That doesn't mean that you couldn't distribute it. The main problem that I see is that technically how our system works, right now it only accepts certain kinds of file formats because it has got to catalog them and tag them, and PD patches right now is not amongst the set of formats that we thought about. So I would say that maybe a better idea would be to create a repository, a separate repository for free PD patches. I would think that it would be a better idea. Again, for the same reason as the other questions, it's better to have people more clearly. I mean, if I want a PD patch, it's not obvious to me that I should go to the Agnula Libre Music site, but maybe it's clear that I should go to the Agnula Libre Pure Data Patch site. Okay, so I think it would be better to have a separate site, and probably it's not that much work. I mean, in the end, you just have to have an HTML coder, graphic artist, just to have basic, basic logo, and MySQL or PostgreSQL developer. So it's something that probably we could do in 3 weeks. With the help of other people, we could do that in 3 or 4 weeks of work. So if you want to develop the website, but if this is an idea that is interesting to you, let's discuss about it. Absolutely.
There's already a repository for synth patches, which is it's fairly lively, but a bit underused. I guess you knew that already. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's called Noise Farm, for what it's worth. So if you have any free synth patches, upload them.
Okay, so problem solved.
It would be noisefarm.org?
I don't remember the URL, but Google for it.
Okay. There was also, one more question I was just having on my own mind, and it was answered in the meantime through IRC, which is probably soon to be an FAQ for the Agnula Live CD. The question would be, can I do the HD install like on Knoppix originally? It's possible, and I was told, no, it is not currently a feature of this Live CD. Maybe it will be added to later on Live CDs, so thanks for answering. Another question here?
How far is the Debian integration of Agnula? Of Dmoodi, I mean.
What is the current situation of the integration? It's at the beginning, I would say. we are not currently very well integrated with Debian. We have a separate repository for our packages, and we did upload some of the, or maybe we are in the process of uploading these packages. I must say that I'm not, right now, I'm not directly involved in direct development on the Moody. So I'm probably not the best person to ask this kind of question. But as far as understood from Frie Kanayaka, who is our lead maintainer for the Moody, he should be, I understood that he would be uploading the material, the packages in these days. And then we must also consider, and I wanted to thank for this all the Debian developers, and especially Gunter Geiger, who did a lot of work on uploading the Debian packages directly to Debian, which we later used. So I would say that as far as the custom Debian project goes, we are still at the beginning. As far as of integration of single packages goes, we are at 50%, I would say. Yes?
As far as I understand it, there is the Knoppix installer script on the on the Agnula Live CD.
There should be.
And I will prepare a FAQ entry for, I think it's going to be finished on Tuesday, because I'm going to get some sleep tomorrow.
Great. Okay, so I think then we'll close down here. Andrea, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so this ends the session in this room. We'll now have a lunch break and continue in the Kubus at 2 p.m. with a talk by Dave Phillips about the current status of Linux documentation projects.